Hello, Najma. How are you?
I am fine, Sophie. How are you doing?
Salam
What? Walaikum assalam.
Najma, would you like to briefly introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Najma Jaffer from Kenya, Mombasa. I finished my high school education in 2018.
So still kind of recent. So I feel like talking to you, it's a pretty up-to-date observation you have of the Kenyan education system. And I previously asked you a little bit about your experiences going to school in Kenya, especially talking about secondary school education. And I had asked you a little bit to tell me a bit about how you feel like certain colonial structures are still very much in place that really determine what kind of knowledge is taught, what kind of knowledge is reproduced. And I remember you telling me previously how, because you had so many hours to spend at school, it made it a little bit different to be exposed to other kinds of knowledges outside of the school setting. So you told me a bit about going to madrasa, studying your religion, studying Islam, but you also told me about storytelling, so passing on knowledge through storytelling from family. And yeah, I was wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on how it kind of made you feel being in the school setting and speaking English, the sort of ex-colonial language, and it being clear at school that that's supposed to be the priority, but then you obviously also knowing about other ways of learning. So maybe you can tell me a bit about how that made you feel.
First of all, growing up in a community, in an African community where we are supposed to speak our mother tongue, and then obviously the second language being English, since we were colonized by the British. That impacted the social life in Kenya a lot, and we can see the impact up to date from several angles in the education system that we have even today, although they try to change it up most of the times. There are a few points that I would like to outline on the, and one of them being the publishers. From my primary school education to my high school education, we only had a series of books published by Macmillan, which is a British company.
I believe they're based in London. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, they are. So it's surprising, given that, given how young I am, even the education that I encountered years after the colonization, we would expect to at least have African publishers or local publishers, books being used in the education system. A call for a change. We need that. We already have people who publish books, and they are from Kenya, and they are very good books. I've gone through some of them. So yeah, I think it's mean time they change that. It would be needed, but I don't think they're going to change it anytime soon.
Yeah, who knows? That reminds me a bit of I've been reading a lot of the works written by the Kenyan and Gikuyu scholar and author Ngugi Wa Thiong'o, and he attended some summit in Nairobi to discuss this specific issue, I believe in 2019. And to quote him directly, he said African publishing is the new frontier, and he really believes that you know, language itself carries meaning, and that the kind of production of knowledge should really be in the hands of the people who consume this knowledge, young people who consume this knowledge. So clearly there are lots of voices who are pushing for that. And that reminds me a bit of, I remember in our last conversation, you talked about how there are no, you called them cultural lessons in class. You said, you know, it's always physics, it's always maths, it's always science, history, but that there are no culture classes. Could you maybe elaborate on that a little bit?
Talking of cultural classes basically means the traditions that we grew up with in Kenya.
Yeah.
That's when I think it would be best to bring in the instance of my father giving me stories each time, each night he came to visit us. He would just get us somewhere to have food and tell us stories which were passed on to him by his forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is something traditional. It's not just something that happens in Mombasa or in Lamu. It's overly. I don't even think it applies to Kenya only. I think it applies to the whole of Africa.
Yeah.
The main means of passing down communication back then in African tradition was through storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if only they could make such a time for kids in school, it would be perfect, because that's how we grew up. That's our fastest way of grasping knowledge.
Yeah.
But instead the school schedule is so busy and so filled up with maths and geography and physics, things that teach us skills that are fruitful in the future, but then not many moral lessons in there compared mm-hmm. to storytelling that are passed down to us by our fathers.
Yeah. No, that's so interesting. Yeah. And I think it also connects to your previous points that you made about your experience of going to madrasa, so going mm-hmm. to study Islam. And you said that, I believe you said, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to remember now, but I think you said something about how as a child going to madrasa, you felt like there you were really being taught all these values that you weren't necessarily taught at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that comes to comparison between madrasa and school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only madrasa, since I learned with the kids from different religious beliefs too, Hindus, Christians, and the feeling that we had when coming to school was totally different when we went for religious classes. Everyone would be excited when it's a weekend, because that's mostly the days when we used to go to our religious classes, and i.e. Sundays. We only had Sundays. The school schedule was from Monday up to Saturday, leaving only a day for the religious studies. And yeah, I would say I used to prefer, and I still prefer, the religious studies, i.e. the madrasa, for me, compared mm-hmm. to school. Because in madrasa, they used to tell us stories, just like my father did.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught us life values, moral values. Mm-hmm. Life lesson. Compared to school for us was just a serious subject.
Yeah.
There was no school. I just need to pass. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really inflicted in our minds that, eventually the parents decided that, you know what, maybe school is more important, because, again, just afraid for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Job security. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do strongly believe that the community, or rather people, need moral values more than the seriousness they mm-hmm. get from school.
Because it maybe matches more with the sort of everyday life of how to navigate the world, would you say?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why it's going to be my, it is my decision to just take my kids to madrasa before school, because again, in madrasa, one would just get the expansion of the way of life and even the way of thinking. So it would make someone, it would make a child grasp at the form of knowledge faster compared to starting with school first.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how it is. I mean, the government in my country enforces kids to go to school ever since, when they get to 3 years of age or 4 years. I started studying, I believe, when I was four.
That's quite young, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also had this classmate, which is a very good example on that instance. A classmate who started with madrasa. He was this Somali kid.
Mm-hmm.
So he joined my school, my primary school, in standard two. And he was much older than most of us. I guess he was 11 or 12, just about.
Just to clarify, what's the average age mm-hmm. in standard two in Kenya? Remind me.
The average age in standard two, I would have to do the maths. A minute.
Maths, yeah, we don't like maths. Uh-huh, clearly. No, just because you said he was 12 and he was older, so everyone else was a bit younger, right?
Yeah, 13, mm-hmm. 7, 12,
6, 11.
Mm-hmm.
11. So he stood out because he was older, because he joined later.
Yeah, about 8 years of age.
Okay, so that is a big age gap if he was 12 and everyone else was 8. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
But this kid, surprisingly, didn't have any form of knowledge from kindergarten. He didn't even go to standard one. So mm-hmm. I think that his parents bribed his way to be moved to standard two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had memorized the Quran. He was so well versed with the madrasa knowledge, and this kid beat us all in mm-hmm. the second exam, like the finals.
Mm-hmm.
He even managed to upgrade him to class three before we moved to class three. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he ended up finishing his primary school before me.
Wow. So, and I think you mentioned, because you mentioned him to me before, that first he came in, he was older than everyone.
Yeah.
He was sort of looked down upon a little bit, right? You said that people made fun of him because he didn't have education, quotes unquote, as in going to a government school. But then he did manage to completely keep up. And so that would kind of indicate, I guess, that these different school mm-hmm. forms, these different ways of learning, or learning different sets of knowledges, that it can be merged. And you mentioned earlier that you see in the future, you kind of already have decided that you want to send your children one day to madrasa, because you felt like that was more reflective of daily life. And it is possible to prioritize that and start with that, and then maybe send your child to a government school later, for example.
To add on to that, these two different sets of communications could be merged. And I think it's going to be the best idea to do that, because when we look at Mombasa, the best performing schools in Mombasa are integrated schools.
Interesting. So that does exist.
Yeah, it's just the best idea, and it has been proven of late.
Interesting. Because that is a way, I guess, of bringing different ways of accumulating different knowledges into one, and to not put children what you were put through, where it's this thing of, okay, school is taking up all my time. And you mentioned your parents wanted to tell you stories, your dad specifically, they wanted you to go to madrasa. But then you also said that when you have to make that choice, and then parents in Kenya maybe say, no, I'm going to prioritize madrasa and take my child out of school for a few days, there would be negative consequences at school, right? You said that there would be punishment. Which is a clear message, basically saying, why are you wasting your time doing other things? You know, going to school is the only important thing, right?
Yeah, true. So previously the school system started with 5 days a week. So it would be 5 days a week from 7 to 4 p.m. 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Then over the time, over the years, it moved to 5 days a week from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Again, over time, they thought, you know, it's not enough. These kids are thinking of religion now. And I do believe strongly that the West does have an impact on it.
Yeah.
Because it cannot just be the government, or rather the government feeling pressured by the other neighboring countries that, you know, Kenya has to stand out. We need, the other kids are going to school 5 days a week, then our kids should go to school 6 days a week. So we ended up cancelling madrasa studies, and our parents feeling pressured to choose school over madrasa. I personally dropped out of madrasa. It was the saddest thing for me to do.
Oh, I didn't know, but you dropped out eventually. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Dropped out when I was in primary, then later on I rejoined in another madrasa to complete my madrasa studies, and I did graduate in my madrasa, alhamdulillah. But again, I wish I had graduated in the school that I dropped out in the first place.
I see.
But yeah, at that point I had to choose, because these teachers, the school teachers, would sometimes schedule the exams on Saturdays. So there's no way someone can miss an exam for madrasa. You miss, you fail, and that's it, you're gone.
You mean an exam for school, right?
Yes, an exam for school. They would put strict measures to curb the madrasa going students, or church going students, or temple going students.
Interesting. So the message is quite clear. And it's interesting, because you could then say, oh, you know, why prioritize madrasa? But you also said that as a child, as a teenager, you felt like at madrasa you were really encouraged to pursue knowledge. Okay, it's studying the Quran, but pursuing all these different sets of knowledge while at school, it was really, I don't know if you mentioned the word, a sense of kind of superiority, but this idea of this is the set that we're giving you, and that's all you need, and just do this and graduate, and that's all the knowledge you need. Does that reflect what you were saying earlier?
It does, totally.
Yeah, then I've understood you.
Schools are so closed-minded in Kenya. We are not allowed to expand on other subjects.
Interesting.
Different from madrasa, where we would have life lessons, time to spend together with kids. Sometimes we'd even go to the fields, just going around orphanages, blah, blah, blah. I mean, madrasa was much fun for me than school.
Interesting.
Because there was in school.
And it seems like you had a very clear sense of that at the time. These are not just things you've realized now. These were like feelings you had already enjoying madrasa.
Yes.
Yeah. Feeling like it fits. Yeah.
I did have the feelings long ago, ever since I was a kid. But hey, there was nothing I could do about it. Parents felt pressured and they put pressure on me. And yeah, that's the way to go. No other choice.
So very difficult also for parents to navigate, especially if there's this pressure in society. You mentioned something about this idea of either you go to school or you end up in poverty, basically. You won't get a job and then there's no opportunity. So, of course, it's understandable that Kenyan parents will say, sure, let me push my child through the school system and then maybe sacrifice other things and not have time for storytelling, not have time for madrasa. So I imagine for parents that's quite difficult to navigate. It's kind of a bit of a conflicting situation. Yeah.
Given for the parents, it was much of a choice they had. It's either they pick the education in which they were promised a prosperous life in the future, a successful life in the future, and drop the traditions, or the traditions and suffer in poverty for the rest of your life because your kids are not educated.
Because again, education and knowledge and hope for the future and prosperity, all these, you know, maybe also modernity, all these concepts, all these words are linked to the school system, just the word education referring to this very specific education, whilst then madrasa, other ways of learning, are kind of always described as maybe even, I don't know if you'd agree, if that's a feeling that some people have, but of sort of backward and, oh, it's just some traditional stuff that we need to leave behind. Would you characterize it that way, that's kind of the pressure that's put on parents?
Yes, I would. And one thing I think the government mostly ignored about the education that we used to gain from madrasas and churches and temples is in madrasas we were encouraged to look for knowledge overall, to be open-minded, not just to restrict our minds into Quran or religious studies. No,
it was more broad.
We used to have maths classes, science classes, but taught in Arabic or Swahili.
Interesting.
On the other hand, in school, it was more of a closed system. You only get what I give you, and you only have to believe that. So it was too much pressure. So yes, I would say that's the kind of pressure our parents felt.
Yeah, interesting. I really imagine that must be very, very difficult to navigate because obviously you always want the best for your child. But what do you choose? Everybody's time is limited. Everybody's resources are limited. So then, go with the promises that come with this, Western style. Let's call it Western style education, and
just
drop the rest.
West. So I think in my country, I do not even think, Sophie, I believe in my country, everyone who studies in the hope that they are going to get a job and become successful in the future. They don't just study to gain wisdom or knowledge. 'Cause For the old people, lucky enough, they gained the wisdom from their forefathers in their traditional education systems.
Mm-hmm.
But for so unfortunate and lucky and unlucky, we were not that privileged. So we are just stuck with let us chase the riches
through education. Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a means to an end to reach this specific thing. Yeah, I understand. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. We've again talked for almost half an hour. It seems like every time we have these conversations, we get so carried away because there's a lot to be said. And I really appreciate you sharing your insight with me. So thank you so much. And maybe last little question. You kind of touched on it already, but if you had the powers to arrange everything in a way that you could, also for future generations, you said, you know, we need these cultural lessons in Kenyan schools, maybe merge schools. Is there anything else that comes to mind? Anything, if you could just snap your fingers and make the world new, is there anything else that comes to mind?
Generally, the whole worldwide or just Kenya?
I mean, you can answer the question how you want to. I was thinking of the Kenyan education system particularly. But maybe you already gave your answer because you said, you know, maybe integrating these cultural lessons that also place ideas of storytelling, yeah, traditions in the curriculum, making it valid in that setting, and saying, hey, this is part of education. I feel like you mentioned that, which would already be maybe a very fundamental change.
Yeah, what would I change? I think I would have schools in different regions of the country have traditional lessons in the curriculum. Time to study your culture, your beliefs, your background, mm-hmm, so that they pass it forward to the next generation, because sadly the traditions and cultures in Kenya are dying.
Yeah,
they're just on dead end. Yeah, everyone struggles, and everyone is just competing. Who speaks English better than the other?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows more England stuff? Mm-hmm. Who lives in a more westernized way?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, yeah, who holds the most morals in the community? Who is, yeah, well-versed, who is wise in the community? I don't think we have wise men in the society anymore.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. No, that's a really great conclusion, and maybe hope, expression of hope for the future, to maybe, if we want to use that word, decolonization, which these conversations kind of all link to, that could, I guess, be a step in that direction of also what Ngugi wa Thiong'o, for example, who I keep referencing, is wishing for, decolonizing these school systems that have been inherited and that are in place. So maybe modifying them so they really reflect more the setting that they exist in. So in this case, Kenya. Yeah. Oh.
For sure. The best comparison would be, like I said before, Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
We think, Kenyans think, that we are way ahead of Tanzanians because we speak better English. We speak English fluently. We dress like English people. We do everything like English people. But in the mind of someone who is traditionally... How do I say this? help me, Sophie.
Take your time. So the competition to be more English, but then you said in Tanzania, so Kenya, kind of Kenyans maybe look down on how things are done in Tanzania, but then I think you mentioned you kind of like the Tanzanian approach to their education system, right?
Yes, because those guys still get education. They're still well versed with the modern education system, but then they chose to drag their traditions and their values into the new system.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Kenya chose to drop the traditions and the values in order to accommodate the Western education, the colonization era.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you phrased that so well, very well, to the very specifically to the point. Thank you. And I think you also told me in an earlier conversation that in Tanzania, the school system is also in Swahili, right? Not in English. That the subjects are taught in Swahili, which is not the case in Kenya.
Exactly. So apparently it's only English that is taught in English in Tanzania. And the total opposite of Kenya. Only Swahili is taught in Swahili. Mm-hmm. IRE, we have CRE, we have maths, physics, and all the other subjects taught in English except Swahili. Whereas in Tanzania, even maths is taught in Swahili. Admirable.
Admirable, yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, it's also interesting to obviously compare countries in the region, how different countries kind of grapple with this colonial spillover effect, let's call it. Have different approaches. Very interesting. Yeah. Thank you so much. We've reached, I think, half an hour, which is amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and share your wisdom and your knowledge on this subject. I appreciate you. Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
Thank you. Okay.
But I hope you hit the stop button.